The following is a Bible study taught before our Wednesday evening prayer meeting at New Covenant Presbyterian Church in Selma, Alabama.
Psalm 21, the companion psalm to Psalm 20 that we heard that Sunday morning, how that we saw the power of prayer in the battle of faith and the power of faith in the spiritual battle, and we see now the rejoicing in God's answer and in God's strengthening our faith. We'll again see how this is fulfilled in Christ. So I'm going to read Psalm 21, the Psalm of David. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. Selah. For you meet him with rich blessings, you set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you, you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all your enemies, and your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. Pray. Lord, help us as we consider this to rejoice at the answers we do receive to your prayers, and grant us the strength to continue to walk by faith as we have prayers we continue to make and look forward to what your wise will be in the answer to them. So tonight, now teach us as we study this psalm and as we prepare to pray together to you. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it seems to me what we have here is the celebration of God's deliverance. And I can't help but think, as I'm thinking of how do I introduce this, what's an image I can put in our mind? And though it's not the exact same situation, you remember was she a widow who lost her coin and found it? And what did she do? She called all of her friends to come and rejoice because she found it. Now, in that case, that's a collection of parables about the wonder of the celebration in heaven as we come to know the Lord. But yet, I think it's the same idea. The shepherd who lost the sheep and found it calls his friends to rejoice that one sheep was found. Well, so it is with us. We ought to rejoice and see when God does bring his deliverance, his salvation, his answer to prayer. So we'll talk about that for a few moments. And also, I have to tell you that this does point forth to the king, David's greater son, also. But I'm going to start by just thinking about how we can pray it along with the king. Verse 1. There I find that it is God who brings deliverance. It's God who brings deliverance. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, in your salvation how greatly he exults. Over in 20, in verse 5, it said, may we shout for joy over your salvation. And now here he is saying, Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, you have brought salvation. So he exalts. It's God who brings deliverance, not we ourselves. He is our shepherd, we're but the sheep of his pasture, the sheep under his care. And so the psalmist is showing us, where do we go? We go to the Lord. We can be quick to forget the Lord in the joy of deliverance. We can run straight on through into the celebration as if it was us. But no, he shows us it's God who brings deliverance. And so he rejoices, he exalts, he's expressing himself here. Verse 2, it's God who answers prayer. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. Again, in Psalm 20, it was our prayer. May he grant you your heart's desire. We're praying for the king in that case. May he fulfill your plans. And so it's God in this case does. I would ask you, and again, I realize we have many here. We have prayers. We're gonna bring them forth, prayers of things that we need. Let's also remember the praise reports to make of prayers answered that, you know, continue to give us strength and faith today to look to the answers to prayers as God will bring them. But God has not, in this case, God answered the king. He's writing a psalm now saying it happened. This is the companion psalm now. You answered my prayer. And in this case, you gave me my heart's desire. My heart's desire lined up with your will, O Lord. When our heart's desire lines up with God's will, we can be sure he will answer. Further, it's God who receives us after the battle to celebrate. That's verses 3 through the first part of 6. It's just too much there for me to go through line by line, so I'm putting it together as just the aspects of this celebration after God's deliverance. In this case, a literal battle. For us, the spiritual battles that we must face. Blessings. A crown of fine gold on his head. I think when we think of that crown, which we'll come back to in a moment, the king has been out fighting. He's had armor on. He's had his helmet on. But God delivered him. Now he can take his helmet off and he can get his crown put back on as he resumes his place, governing and even ministering to the people. God puts the crown on us. The party hat, may I say? The king has said, Lord, preserve my life, and he's done it. Verse 5, a pair of words, splendor and majesty you bestow on him. Glory and honor and splendor and majesty tell us a couple of things, though when those words are put together. We're God's people, we're made in his image. We're different from everything else in creation. We're his people. But even further when he's talking about Jesus, that takes even further understanding of the depth of those words. You make him blessed. Another word for blessed is happy. So there's happiness as God receives us. Next, the presence of God is a present and eternal reality. That's 6b and 7. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. You know, God's presence was the one thing God's people needed. When we're reading the Old Testament stories in particular, if God's with them, they're safe, they're secure. When God, in a sense, and we read about it when we're reading the stories, when his presence departs, there's chaos, there's fear, there's catastrophe, really. But we're told here, you make him glad with the joy of your presence. Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer in John 17, the things that I think we see coming to pass for us in the psalm. In 17:3, and this is his prayer he prayed the night before he died for our sins. In 17:3, he said, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So Jesus is acknowledging, here's eternal life, which is what we're saying here. You've given him, you make him glad with your presence forevermore through, if we back up to 4, length of days forever and ever. And then in verse 7, the joy of your presence. So here's salvation, knowing the Father through the Son. That is salvation. Eternal life begins today and lasts forever for the believer. But he further prays in verse 24. Again, this is Christ praying, the King of Kings. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And so, for us, we see the incremental answer to this prayer, Christ's deliverance, God's deliverance of him, his exaltation, Christ praying this for us. We now have his presence with us here even tonight, and yet Christ has prayed that we will be with him forevermore. And it's his steadfast love, verse 7, his steadfast love, because of that we'll never be moved. That's his covenant love that holds us, never lets us go from now to all eternity. So the presence of God is a present and eternal reality. 8 through 12, God deals with his enemies and ours. God deals with his enemies and ours. Simply, I don't have to reread it. You heard the language of God's decision that those who reject the good news, that reject him, will be defeated. We know even now we can pray for God to defeat his enemies and protect his people. And what he has said he will do, he will do. How did this happen? Well, Hebrews 10, 12 and 13, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. This is secure. Christ reigns from heaven, and he will make his enemies a footstool for his feet. God will deal with his enemies and ours. Before I close with the final word of verse 13, I want to think for a couple of minutes how this is fulfilled in Christ. I want to go back to that crown. What did he say? Let's see here. Verse 3, you set a crown of fine gold upon his head. Revelation 14:14. This comes up again in a very magnificent and powerful way. Revelation 14:14. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. Our Lord is the King of Kings. He will defeat all his enemies. He will bring all of this, all these wars, and the final war, even with Satan, the great adversary, to conclusion. Another place, in Romans 4, 23 to 25, we see more of this fulfillment. Romans 4, 23 to 25. But the words, okay, this is talking about Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. But the words that was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. You really can't apply this immediately to David, where it says, he asked you He asked life of you, you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Christ was raised from the dead, though. A first fruits of the resurrection that we will experience, and we will be with him forever and ever. But many of these psalms, in fact, 2021, and the very next psalm is 22, where we hear those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? We're seeing God inspired David to write psalms that would be fulfilled in Christ, but then that we could pray as his people. So this has come to pass through the work of our Savior on our behalf. And so he closes. Well, let me go back and read that, the first verse. O Lord, in your strength, the king rejoices. He closes then in verse 13. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. I actually can't keep up with all the ways our hymns that you just pick as we gather have little glimpses of little pieces of the puzzle of even the message that we're, I know I'm about to seek to teach, but we've been singing this already, of God's strength, his power on our behalf. He's the one who has came to this earth to live and die for us in our salvation. It is his strength that we need in our weakness. His power, in fact, is made perfect in weakness. And Paul, in preaching, said this about him, and this is my last word here. He's talking about fulfilling David's Psalms. I'm in Acts 13, 33. This he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. Even as the second psalm said, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. Now David, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known, therefore, brothers and sisters, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed, and by him everyone who believes is freed. And so we rejoice in God's strength through Christ. We have strength for today and hope for each day that God gives us. The Lord hears our prayers. And when we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that is a sure prayer that will be answered. So let's pray, both praises and requests.